Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is recorded in the letter in the book of Genesis in the 29th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. These are thy words, Holy Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear friends, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the story of Jacob and Rachel is a wonderful love story, but it's also very complicated. Love can be like that, you know. It's rooted in the stories of Abraham and Isaac, of God's promise to Abraham that in his seed, his descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That is the promise, of course, that is fulfilled in the Messiah, in Jesus the Christ. It's rooted in the birth of Isaac's twin sons, Jacob and Esau, of Rebekah's and Jacob's deceit of Isaac, of Isaac's blessing of Jacob, the younger son, rather than Esau, the older one, and the conflict that arose between those brothers. Also, there is the fact that Esau found wives from among the heathen inhabitants in Canaan, of the country around them, and from among the Hittites. But as complicated as the story is, it does finally come down to a fairly simple matter. These believers, surrounded by unbelievers, took seriously the promise that God had made to Abraham, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And those words, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is, he was justified through faith. And they lived by faith in that promise of the gospel. So the issue is, how do we live by that faith in a sinful world? Esau, the elder of the twins, took up with the heathen and married girls from the Hittites who worshipped idols. So that sad chapter in the words about Esau's wife, so that sad chapter ends in the words about Esau's wives, they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And that begins the travels of Jacob. Isaac summoned his younger son Jacob and said, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, and take a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's father." And so Jacob does as his parents say. He goes to Haran in northern Mesopotamia and immediately spies Rachel at the well and finds that she is Laban's daughter. And there begins a love that endures in spite of great trial and complication. For a long time, Rachel bore no children, and Jacob had other sons by his first wife, Leah, and two other women. But his two youngest, Joseph and Benjamin, as we see later, were dearest to him. But Rachel dies giving birth to Benjamin, the youngest of her own two sons. After a time in Canaan, you remember, Jacob and his sons ended up in Egypt, where they and then their descendants lived in slavery for 400 years. Now, the point that pertains to us, especially today here, is an example for us, and it's much more than a passing example, a by-the-way matter. Jacob's parents placed such a high value on his finding a wife who shared the same faith, belief in the God who promised Abraham and guided his sons and grandson, Isaac and Jacob. Martin Luther, we would hardly accuse of being a hopeless romantic, comments that here it is under the impulse of God's Holy Spirit that Jacob saw in Rachel, the one who was to be his wife and was one with him in the faith, and Luther calls it love at first sight. So there you see it does happen. Luther comments that this is recorded so that we can understand that such feelings are not wrong and that they are not disgraceful or forbidden. And he also attributes to the power of the Holy Spirit the strength that Jacob summoned when he went to lift the stone from the well, which what must have been very impressive for that young lady. It becomes clear, very clear, from what Jacob had to endure later, that the love that he found in Rachel, who was one with him in the faith, was a love that was given by God and was sustained by him. And when she died and was buried at Bethlehem, Jacob was deeply grieved, Moses writes. Now, certainly you understand what needs to be addressed at this point in a room full of young people contemplating marriage and seeking suitable mates. Think again of the importance, this very profound importance, that this had for Isaac and Rebekah, that their son Jacob, who is now to be the channel of God's promise, in contrast to his brother Esau, should marry one who also served the true God and shared the same faith. The deepest bond in the marriage of Christian people is the faith that husband and wife have together, faith in Jesus as the Savior from sin and the one who promises eternal life in the heavenly Jerusalem. That marriage bond is so deep that the Apostle Paul uses it to speak about the bond between Christ the bridegroom and his bride, the believers, the church. It is that faith held in common which is to be taught to the children in that marriage. It is that faith that is the foundation, the true foundation, for a marriage lived in selfless love and forgiveness toward one another. Marriage is God's own institution. It's the union of a man and a woman, and he intends it for believers and also for unbelievers alike. But in this world of sin and unbelief, where believers and unbelievers live side by side, the union of faith in Christ Jesus is the strongest bond for a God-pleasing marriage. And it's our prayer that Christian young people will heed the advice of Isaac and Rebecca and seek their mates from among the believers and raise their children in that unity of faith. God bless you, those now married and those who will be, in that unity. For Jesus' sake, amen.